Self-care is really important because as entrepreneurs and small business owners, we are the core of our business. We are the USP in most cases. And if we don't, as you said earlier, put on our own max oxygen mask first, we're screwed.
My name is Paul Harvey, and this is Life, Passion, and Business. We're about helping you explore, finding your passion for life and the work that you do. But it's so much more than that. It's about finding clues to the big life questions. What does it mean to be successful? What is the meaning of life? If you're looking for more, then join me on this journey, where together we will discover through interviews, tools, and tips how to live life full of meaning, passion, and purpose. Welcome to the show. My guest on this week's program is probably, in fact, definitely the youngest person I've ever had on the podcast. She is 24, but I'm not going to hold that against her. She's a young entrepreneur who has always been self-employed ever since she left full-time education. Anastasia Wilson, and I'm sure she's going to hate me for saying that, but with a name of such distinction, it has to be used at least once. Anna has a good sense of where she's going and what life is about. And apart from the few side jobs, she has always been an entrepreneur. Like a lot of my guests, we are Facebook connections, and while I did not know her well before the conversation, there was something in her post interactions that kept my interest. The main point of this interview for me is that it was interesting to talk to someone who is in the early years of their business life. Now, right, let's explore this a little with you. When I was Anna's age, I worked for a company. I had little or no focus or interest. It was a job that kept my Fridays apart. I had little expectation for it or where my life was going. And like a lot of my contemporaries at the time, we were directionless at that age and just waiting for the right opportunity to drop in our laps rather than go and look for it. Anna is from the beginning of Generation Z. She grew up with the internet and social media and the availability of knowledge and ideas. And I think that has been the driving change in our society that has made it possible for young people to start a business and make a difference in the world at the ages they are. Now, you can discover everything on YouTube. And the possibility of finding inspiration is not down to the luck of the right teacher or moving in the right social networks. Motivation is open to us all with a few clicks or swipes of a screen. But that said, there has to be the right conditions. You must be ready to receive what you're looking for. But anyway, it is so refreshing to meet a young woman, business owner, with a knowledge and awareness that has taken me years to obtain. Now, I'm talking about the skills of mindset and health and what it takes to be and survive as an entrepreneur. Anna was very candid with me and we explored my usual questions. And to be honest, I think she's still looking for answers to some of those questions. But nevertheless, she shared essential insights with me as we talked about mindset and mental health and how that affects her life if she does not manage it well. I feel privileged that Anna took the time out to speak with me, you know, the old guy exploring my dumbass questions. You know, we live both in challenging and exciting times. And I have to say, if Anna is anything to go by, then we are in good hands. Because she represents the progression of our society, and it was very refreshing to meet someone so young who has the knowledge and the drive and passion to do what they do and is out there doing it. I only wish that I could have been that focused at that age. How might life have turned out differently for me? But then, I would not be having this conversation with you, so there's no regrets there. I hope you enjoy this conversation with Anna Wilson. Welcome to Life, Passion and Business. What a fantastic day it is in the autumn day in Scotland. And today I'm delighted to have a lady talking to me from Sherwood Forest. Welcome to Anna Wilson, and she is a business doula.
Hi. It's not so nice in the heart of Shield Forest today. It is absolutely windy as anything.
Well, it has been windy this morning, but I have been out for a run and it was lovely and fresh, so I did quite enjoy that. This is Life, Passion and Business, and we are all about how we bring passion and our energy to the work that we do. And I was looking for inspiring women to talk to recently, and I put out a request in one of the marketing groups I was in, and Anna was someone that approached me. And I'm delighted to talk to Anna today because, as I said in my intro, she is a business doula. So I think we better find out more about that, don't you? So Anna, tell me, how did you get to be the business doula?
The title actually comes from one of my clients. I'd helped her basically craft this brand from the beginning. And she said to me, I don't know how you did that, but you're the business doula. And for anybody listening that doesn't know, a doula is somebody that helps pregnant women go through the birth process. And that's essentially what I do with businesses. You know, I can take a business from a concept to launch, creating everything in between. And it's kind of a parallel and a nice little metaphor. But essentially what I am is a coach and a virtual assistant. But it's a much nicer way of saying it, isn't it?
Well, it is interesting that, because that is one of the biggest things that people seem to forget when they start a business, is you don't have to do everything.
No, absolutely.
And invariably, the founder is not capable of doing everything.
No, I mean, wearing 50,000 hats, you can't. You physically can't do everything. And people that try end up basically burning themselves out. You know, they're trying to, as well as their business, they're trying to juggle their family, their social life, their personal life, and they end up sacrificing so much. And it's just not worth it.
I think it is possible, as someone that is one of these bloody independent people that does everything himself, but that's kind of how you do it. But I think what the issue is, you can do everything yourself, but you're never going to reach the, if you've got a, it depends on the vision you're holding for this business. My vision, when I moved here, my vision was literally to be a stay-at-home father and operate something that kind of sustained us. And that's what I have achieved. But if I want to grow bigger than that vision, bigger than me, then you're absolutely right. There's no way I can do this on my own.
Absolutely.
So what was the story? How did you get to be the business doer? How did you get to do this thing? Because actually having those skill sets you're talking about, that's quite a long journey. There's a lot of skills in there by the sounds of it. So tell me, what are some of the things that you do?
Basically, I started, I tend to work with kind of handmade small businesses, one-man bands, you know, those that kind of sell products. I do work with some service people too, but mainly like products. And it started because that's who I was. I used to create these wooden blocks, hand-painted. And I kind of realized that actually I hated doing the painting, but I loved doing all the admin side of things. And everyone was like, you're so weird. That's so strange. And I was like, yeah, that's kind of what I am. You know, I'm a bit strange. And I kind of was like, okay, so I'm looking forward to, you know, sorting out the marketing, doing the accounts. And it was kind of like, okay. So I spoke to a few people in the world that I was in, and they were like, I need somebody to do that for me. And it kind of started from there, and I've spent 6 years training now. So I started when I was 18, and I'm now 20. How old am I? I'm 24.
Well, I have to say, I wouldn't know how old you are.
I don't know how old I am most days. I really don't.
I think you must be the youngest person I've ever had on the show.
Way, that's an accolade.
Well, maybe it is. So, okay. As someone so young on this one, because obviously you're a starter, you're new on your journey. So, okay, so where is your passion? How do you bring your passion to the party?
It's all about the people. My passion comes from seeing how people are after kind of working with me. So I've got one client who's she homeschools her little one, and I often work with her, and she'll say, this is what I've been doing while you've been like doing all the admin stuff. And she'll send me a picture of her and her little one baking a cake or going to the forest. And for me, that's where the passion comes from, because doing what I love enables people to do what they love and what they, you know, run their lives. And that's really what gets me up in the morning.
Has that always been the case for you? I mean, where did you start? What was your vision when you started out? What was your plan when you started your career?
It was always about helping people. And it's, I always say I'm never going to be rich because I will literally help anybody. If they, if they've got no budget, if they've got, you know, they're a bit lost, I'll be there. And it's always been about getting people to a point where they feel balanced instead of overwhelmed and stressed. And that's, I think that's been there from day one.
So yeah, I can see that. I can see that that is a real value. So is there a is there a particular area that you enjoy working in most?
I think it's got to be the handmade sector, because the passion that those business owners have for their products, and, you know, because they make it by hand, they have a kind of passion for their business that some people don't have in other sectors.
Is this the Etsy type stuff?
Yeah, kind of Etsy, handmade, work at home mom kind of feel. And it's just that they put everything into their products. And I really like working, much like yourself, working with people that have got passion. Sorry.
What?
Hiccup. I really like working with people that's got passion, because it just makes that working relationship much better. If you can work with somebody that's got drive and got motivation, even if they're a little bit lost and they don't really know what to do next, and, you know, they're juggling all these balls, if the underlying passion is there, it makes for a brilliant process.
So what are the success stories of this?
Oh, gosh. I think the biggest success has got to be the client who sends me pictures of her little boy. She is an absolute inspiration. She's gone from like turning over nothing to like ridiculous amounts. And she always puts the work in. She's motivated. She gets it done. She's just watching her evolve through the process. I've been working with her for 4 years now, and seeing who she was, who she's become, it's just incredible. And it just keeps me going, because if I can be a part of that journey with that client, it makes everything worthwhile.
So obviously there's got to be some progression for you, because you just said, I'm never going to be rich. Is that something you want to be? Or I have this thing about rich, because I think there's money rich and there's life rich. And, you know, the two do go hand to hand in terms of one does very much support the other. But they can be the most simplest people in the simplest environments and who are just as happy as the wealthiest man in his palace. But where's the balance sit for you? And is that shifting over time, or is that, I'm trying not to lead you there. Perhaps I shouldn't lead you. Where do you sit with this thing about money?
I kind of grew up with not a lot of money. So for me, I'm not a real materialistic person. I can't go shopping and spend God knows what on shoes or whatever. And for me, as long as it's enough to kind of support my family and I'm happy. You see, there's no scale here. I don't want to have 10,000 clients, because my ethos and my core belief and values are around the one-to-one personal connection and being human, if you know what I mean. And if I scaled it, there'd be no one-to-one interaction, and that would lose it for me. And I wouldn't want that. I mean, you see all these how to make 10K in 20 minutes by putting a course out on Thinkific or whatever. I don't want to do that. I want to educate, but I want to keep the personal connection. And for me, that's okay, because I don't need to be rich. I don't need money to be happy. It certainly makes life easier. Money does make life easier, and we're very comfortable, but I have no urge to go out and spend 70K on a car, or, you know, that's not a vision for me. If I can just help people, I would. If we didn't have a mortgage, I wouldn't charge people at all. Do you know what I mean?
Okay. Because there's always this conversation that it's banded about a lot, is put your own oxygen mask on first.
Yes.
You know, if you can get sorted first before you kind of give it all away, it makes it a lot easier.
Yeah, I mean, we're renovating at the moment, and
Oh, I've been done one of those. They can be money pits.
Oh, the simplest of jobs turn out to be the most expensive. Oh,
so you do need more money than you're actually admitting.
No, we've got it. It's just I don't want to be like turning over whatever a month, 25K a month. It doesn't appeal to me. I like to be quite basic and quite feet firmly on the ground.
So your what's your view of success then? How do you determine success?
It's got to be happiness. Happiness and balance is success for me. If I'm working 18 hours a day, stressed, seeing nobody, you know, having no meaningful relationships, that's not success to me. I could be turning over 100K a month and that still wouldn't be success for me. If I'm happy, balanced, I have meaningful relationships with my friends and family, that's success for me.
And has that view changed? Has that always been your view?
I think yeah, it's always been an underlying key aspect for me as long as I can remember doing business, because is that not the point of life? You know, you see all these gurus and these coaches and these mentors that say, you know, you've got to make these sacrifices and you've got to work all hours every day and the 24/7 hustle and the 24/7 grind. What's the point? Life is about now, I think. And yeah, it's all about, you can put money away for the future. That's absolutely fine. But don't kill yourself in the meantime for money. It just seems pointless to me. So I think success is well-being and a work-life balance.
So going back to your, because you, as I said, you are possibly the youngest person I've ever had on this podcast. So going back to the beginning when you started your career, what did you seek out? What were you thinking of being when you kind of entered the working place?
When I first started, I had no I had no clue of what to call myself, what this thing that I wanted to offer was. And for the first kind of 6 months, I just coasted and I just said, I can do this for you without giving myself a label.
Did you literally go straight into this kind of business immediately?
Yeah.
straight out of education?
Yes. I did the straight out of education into the handmade business and straight from that into virtual assistants.
Wow. Okay. No, it's fine. It's just what it is. Because a lot of people do other things before they get to this. Sounds like you went into self-employed immediately by the sounds of it.
Yeah, I did a few like side jobs. I was a DJ for a while, a care assistant, but I always did this on the side, if you know what I mean. It's always ingrained in me. My dad owns his own business. He's always been self-employed.
Where it's come from. Where it's come from. It's you had that experience of it from the family.
Sorry. He's owned IT business for, it's got to be like 30 odd years now. And as long as I can remember, he's always worked for himself. He's always, he's a developer.
So what did he teach you?
Nothing specific, if you know what I mean, but a lot of his traits have been passed down. So the way I approach puzzles, even my handwriting mirrors my dad's, and we'll often work together on projects. And it's really, really nice because he's got a specific skill set. So he's really good at like the in-depth coding, developing complicated stuff. And mine's like general businessy kind of WordPress, social media.
You have a bigger team than you realize, because you have a resource behind you that's actually quite reliable that you don't have to go and find. That's quite interesting, because a coding resource like that is difficult to find and expensive. And I'm sure you get mates rates.
Yeah, I'm sure he wishes he charged me full price, but no, it's more than a resource. It's the, because he's been in business for so many years.
Of course.
If I'm, like when I put my rates up last year, I said to him, how do I do this? You know, am I kind of needing, am I going from this angle or do I say this? Or if I'm having problems with a problematic client, or if, you know, there's just a puzzle that I cannot solve, having him on the other end of the phone is fabulous. I can just say, Dad, I'm stuck. How would you approach this? And he doesn't necessarily give me the answers. He helps me work it out for myself. And a lot of my growth and my potential comes from him, because he'll push me in the right way. He sees, I can't think of the word, he sees like potential, I guess.
He sounds like he's got very good coaching skills and very good mentoring skills.
He's very blunt. he's a no frills kind of man, but he's an incredible inspiration, and that's where it comes from, you know, being little and seeing my dad working on the computer and with all these clients, and it's kind of like, hey, that's doable, and he is this massive inspiration.
So who inspires you outside your dad?
My clients. I know that's really cheesy, but if they weren't so inspirational, I wouldn't do what I do. Because take that client I mentioned before, you know, and how she's gone from A to B. Watching that is the biggest inspiration that there could be. Obviously, there's things like my friends and my family and my husband, but they inspire me in a different way.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess we are talking business inspiration here, or inspiration to do the thing that you do. I mean, family is a different aspect of inspiration.
Absolutely. They are the why. So they are the altruistic why, if you know mm-hmm. what I mean. Which is inspiration in a way, but not direct. Kind of why I get out of bed in the morning is for my clients, because seeing the changes that they make is absolutely incredible. Just by a conversation or, you know, an action plan, they go on to achieve incredible, incredible things. And it's such a privilege to be part of.
So how do you find clients?
I've been told off for this many, many times, but mostly word of mouth. I've been doing what I do now for 5 years, and I've never really had a proper marketing strategy in place because I've never needed it. I'm kind of almost at capacity just from people saying, you know, sending people to me, and which is a ridiculous honor, because a lot of people really have to work at it. And
so with my marketing hat on, on my coaching hat on, I would say your prices are too cheap. You need to be charging charging higher. That's why you're over capacity.
Yeah.
And I would say you need to be charging higher and have some space that allows you to do other things and breathe.
Yeah.
But hey, I'm not your marketing guy. and it's not my role to even say that on this podcast. No, did I say that? Oh, sorry.
I didn't hear you say anything like that. No, you're entirely correct. And I think I want to keep my prices cheap. I'm doing inverted commas.
Well, there. You can't say that. You have to say competitive.
Competitive. It's because I want to be approachable. I don't want to be this out of reach kind of guru, and when in the sector that I'm in, a lot of these people are really lost, and maybe the profit margin isn't as high as it could be. So at a point they've got very little to invest, but once they start investing and get the return on investment, yes, their capital grows.
Yes,
if that makes sense.
Yes,
it's probably a bit backwards, but you know.
So you know, we've covered passion, we've covered success. You know, is there anything else you want to say that I should have asked you? What stories do you like to tell about your business? Or what other things would you like to pass on to people? How do you discover passion? How do you maintain passion? These are the sort of things that people are interested in hearing.
Self-care is a big one.
So do you look after yourself?
I try. I'm one of those horrible, horrible coaches that doesn't practice what they preach a lot of the time.
Oh, no, you can't let them. Sorry.
I try. I really, really, really try.
Do you have a morning routine?
I do, sort of. I used to just get up and go straight to work, and I'd find myself like dragging myself through the day. Whereas now I like to start with like a coffee and a breath, and I set myself a not a goal, but something that I would like to feel or achieve for the day. So mm-hmm. for example, yesterday it was, I'd like to really laugh, which is a bit daft, but it gives me that expectation of happiness for the day. And my grandparents visited, and my granddad's the most hilarious man in the entire world. So I did laugh, and I really laughed, because without knowing, his mannerisms are just absolutely hilarious. So I did. When I woke up in the morning, I said, I really want to laugh today, and I really want to laugh hard. And I did. And it's just kind of setting yourself up for the day as you're going forward. Instead of
you
going,
set an intention for the day, by the sounds of it.
An intention for the day. That's absolutely right. That's absolutely
right.
That's
a nice thing to do, actually.
It's a bit hippie, but it frames your mindset for the day.
I mean, yeah, people say, oh, these things are a bit woo-woo or a bit spiritual. But hey, it kind of like what works. It's like, it's not about that. It's not as if you're, praying at the altar of this. It's just, you're just getting a heaps of attention. You know, mm-hmm. I'll just set up a thing I'm going to focus on. And invariably, what you focus on, you see. It's like when looking for a car. When you start looking for a car, you see them everywhere.
It's a really funny concept, that, isn't it?
Well, they've always been there, you just didn't notice them.
Yeah, and it's why I do it, because if you set out your intention for the day, it's all a bit hippie and woo-woo, but it is. It's something to do with manifestation. Not in the terms that, I'm not going to stand in the mirror and say, some people do it with money. So you stand in the mirror and you say, I want to earn 10K today by looking in the mirror. And that's not for me. But it's a type of manifestation. You're giving yourself almost an expectation and a permission, if that makes sense. But self-care is really important, because as entrepreneurs and small business owners, we are the core of our business. We mm-hmm. are the USP in most cases. And if we don't, as you said earlier, put on our own max oxygen mask first, screwed.
So what's your self-care regime? I mean, it sounds like you have a morning routine. Is there anything else that you do for self-care?
I meditate using the Headspace app. I really try and have kind of like a pamper type evening once a week, where I just put on a face mask, and I like to read. Self-care can be in many, many different forms, but it's all about putting yourself first, even if it's just for 10 minutes of the day. And it's really important to me, because mental health is one of the biggest issues in life right now, and a lot of that starts with you. If you take care of you, and if you put yourself first and remember how freaking awesome you are, it will help. It will change your mindset to enable you to kind of deal with the issues and have the emotional strength to keep going.
That's very powerful.
It's one of the things that kind of keeps me going. I suffer with various mental health issues, and putting myself first and knowing when to say no and having these boundaries helps me
compartmentalize.
Yes, it helps me to
It's okay. I've said the word. We'll just assume you said it.
Oh dear. It helps me to process things, and the self-care has changed the way that I approach things.
You touched on something which is the first point. You've touched on something quite personal, and I am actually quite impressed by it in that you said in it. Do you want to say anything more about that? Because that is something that a lot of people would align with in some way. How do you yourself? Obviously, the self-care keeps you mentally healthy.
It does.
And what happens if you don't? What happens if you let it go?
Well, my mental health issues are agoraphobia and anxiety.
Okay.
And if I don't keep up with the self-care, I end up in this little hole of overwhelm and stress and just horrible lack of self-confidence and self-worth. And especially in the entrepreneur world, a lot of people suffer with mental health issues, and there is so much kind of, there's still stigma, even though people talk about it, particularly within men. They don't like to, they don't know where to go, they don't know what to say, and kind of the reason I'm all about self-care is because it's that one thing that you can control. It's that one thing, especially when you've got a mental health issue, that you can do for you. And once you start giving yourself back control, it builds up your emotional strength to deal with these issues. Mm. So if I don't do it, my emotional strength is in pieces and I just can't, I don't have the inner drive to do anything. And it's all about taking care of me, because as with life and business, we're at the core.
Absolutely. I mean, I the story of this podcast. It was created out the fact that my father, when my father died, I was aware how little interest he had in life and how it had ebbed away from him over the 5 years. Part of that was physicality, because he wasn't very fit. He was fit enough, but he couldn't move as around. He didn't have the same kind of lung capacity that he needed and that sort of stuff. And part of that was the fact he had stopped doing things less and less and less, not moving less and less and less. And as a result, his muscles atrophied and all sorts of stuff. So that was where he was. And I recognized I was doing the same thing. So in the last, I'd already started getting fit before my father died. But in the last year, my fitness has gone, I'm the fittest I've ever been. And I also recognize that thing about keeping my head in the right place, because I can spiral down. I can easily spiral down into the, I'm useless, I have no value in this world, and mm-hmm. so on and so on and so on. And so I have to keep myself up by looking in an upward spiral. And I think entrepreneurs have this spiral. I think we go up and down on the spiral constantly. I don't think there's no set point on it. So there are points in me when I'm moving up and there are points in me when I'm moving down, and I just have to keep an eye on it.
And I think exercise is probably part of your self-care as well, because you're doing it for you. You know, we spend so much of our lives doing stuff for other people.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
When you, I mean, I took the mick out of you for going out for a run because I'm really lazy, but that's you've made a choice to go out for a run and put yourself first and give yourself some headspace.
Well, it's fascinating, because if you told me a year ago I'd be running, I'd have said, don't be ridiculous. I did a 10K in September, which I keep talking about, and the podcast people on the podcast go, oh, you talked about bloody running again. And, you know, it's like, but you know, for me, I did a 10K, I aimed at 55 minutes, I did it in 51 minutes. I ran at 10 kilometers an hour, less faster than 10 kilometers. And I don't run. I mean, I used to do kind of cross country and used to hide in the woods when I was a kid and then run back out at the end.
I mean, I used to be the same.
You know, so it's like, you're right. It's like, oh, yeah. So at the moment, I am so amazed at this capacity to run that I want to know where it's going to go.
Absolutely. The thing is, I bet your podcast listeners think you're the equivalent of Tom Jones. I once met Elvis.
You think I'm that old then?
No, but he always he name drops people, doesn't he? And your equivalent is talking about your run.
Maybe. I didn't realise that. Yeah, maybe. I'm possibly training for a half marathon at the moment, and it's tough, and it's like, that's why I did run the run this morning. But yeah, it is, I think this is a really valid point, this self-care thing. And I think everybody kind of like, I mean, even working in an organization, you have to give time for it. And it is so vital.
I think boundaries and structures are a big, big part of that as well, because often we can have this strive to, do all the things, and delegation aside, you know, if somebody says to us, can you do this? And you think, I really haven't got the capacity, or, you know, I'm supposed to be doing whatever that day. We find it really hard to say no collectively as entrepreneurs. And I think it's really important that we develop the skills to do that for our own sanity.
Mm.
Because if we take too much on, we end up in this cycle of, oh my God, I've got so much to do and I don't know where to start, and I'm just so overwhelmed and I'm so stressed, which then has a knock-on and domino effect to our mental health, and it goes around in cycles. So I think for the listeners, I would say that self-care, discipline and boundaries are the top three things that they can do to put themselves back in control of their mental health.
And out of those things comes amazing stuff, because when you've got that stuff in place, the business can fly.
Yeah, and themselves can fly.
Yeah.
Which is key. You know, you can have a super successful business, but if you're in pieces, A, you're not going to be giving you everything, and B, what's the point?
Well, there's a couple of people around the world that we work in. I mean, and I can't remember his name now. Isn't that mad? But there are people there that have done the grind and the crunch, and they've had the collapse afterwards, and they ended up in thousands and thousands of pounds of debt because they were building this massive machine up, and then eventually, when it all expired, you know, they ended up in debt with it all. Scott Orford is one. I mean, he was £750,000 in debt at one stage. He was about 21, 22 when he had this situation. But he was working 17 hours a day.
To me, that's just...
Well, yes, but hang on. This is the thing that we were sold. We were sold this idea that success means money, it means cars, it means women or men, and it means houses, and it means all these things. It means all these trappings. And that's the success model the world has been sold. You know, the world is committed to this idea of perpetual growth.
See, that's what I want to be part of. I want to be part of the change. Yeah. I want to be part of the shift from, you know, materialistic to putting yourself first. Because Scott, if he's, you know, got all this debt and you know, he was...
I know he's out of it now. He's very wealthy and doing really well. I mean, if you go look up Scott Orford, anybody who wants to find out that man, he's everywhere once you get involved in him. But he will tell his story. I mean, he at one point he was very, very low. You know, he was doing very, very well, but so low, considering suicide.
Yeah, this is what makes me incredibly sad, because I've heard so many stories over the last week alone of entrepreneurs that have kind of got to a point, or people in general, they've got to a point where that is the only way out that they can see. And they may have these massive businesses, they may have whatever, but they're not taking care of themselves, and they think, well, what's the point anymore?
I mean, I've never knowingly wanted to commit suicide, but I have had points where I thought, well, if I wasn't here, I wouldn't really care at this point.
Yeah. And that's sad in itself.
It is. And I mean, I remember, in fact, early this year, maybe March time this year, and I had no idea where the thought came from. I was running by the sea. And I thought I could just turn into the sea and just keep running.
That's a feeling of insignificance, isn't it?
It is, and it shocked me that I could even think of that. It was a thought that came out of nowhere. It wasn't a thought like I wasn't depressed, I wasn't unhappy. I was just running by the sea, and it was just thought, I could just turn that way and go that and keep going. And I have no idea where that thought came from, and it really shocked me afterwards. I thought about killing myself. Where did that come from?
I think that's a different thought process to the kind of rock bottom, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
I think yours was more of a ponderance, a kind of a, rather than, oh my God, I'm at rock bottom.
No, but there was a serious intent to it. It wasn't as if it's like it was a passing thought. It was like it was a serious, like, well, let's just turn that way and see what happens. It was a really weird feeling, and I have no idea where it came from. And of course, I didn't act on it, but it was like, bloody hell, where did that idea come from?
But the awareness of kind of what your thought process was is the important thing, I think.
Yeah.
But you're still taking care of yourself, aren't you?
I am taking care of myself, yeah. Absolutely. So, okay, look, where do you want to be? Where are I? Because you are, as I said, I'll put that badge on you. You are the youngest person on this podcast. I've said that three times now. Okay, so as someone so young, really, I mean, I know at the moment you're saying, I want to keep small, I want to keep this, but reality is you cannot stay where you are forever. This will not sustain you.
Why not?
Because you'll get bored, probably. You won't want to keep doing this forever. So if you were to imagine in 10 years' time life being different, what would that life be like?
I can't. This is the only thing I can picture myself doing every single day for the rest of my life. And I know it's cliche, and I know I'm young, and, you know, it's not it's not what people do, but the core will be this, you know. I mean, eventually I'd like to do kind of like retreats based around self-care and business, but it encapsulates the core values of a one-to-one human. What was that for?
Because that's it. You've suddenly touched on where you're going. I want to do retreats about well-being, and that's it. That's the seed of an idea sitting there.
It's always been there because
That's it. That's the seed of the idea. You kind of like you're sitting on that idea, and like you're doing what you're doing. Now I don't want to do anything else. I don't want anything else. But that idea will grow.
Yeah, but it's the same principle of what I do, just in a personal setting, isn't it?
It's the evolution that you're looking towards, and it's like, and to me, your face changed when we're using Zoom today, so I can see my guest, which is unusual, and I saw Anna's face change when she mentioned it. So clearly, I think we touched on something there that is your future.
I'm excited about it, but it's a long way off because of personal circumstances, less than business. The market is there, the intention, the drive is there. It's just things have got to slot together in the right place. But it's less about, do I want to change what I'm doing? No, do I? I absolutely love what I do. But I can reach more people, and I can reach them in a more personal one-to-one situation using these retreats.
So there is a bigger picture here. You are looking to do more for more people. You want to be able to take this to a greater audience.
I do, but I don't want to compromise the human approach at the same time. I mean, I don't want to having a team is absolutely brilliant, and I'm more than happy to have a team behind the scenes and doing all the, you know, slotting everything together. But with the clients, I want to be the one to work with them, because essentially it's me that's at the core of the business, isn't it? I want to do the calls, I want to do the training, and if I had a team to do that, it would dilute that message. You know, I often do lives in my group, and one of my clients on a call the other day said to me, you're really real, aren't you? And I was like, yeah. And then as we were having the call, someone knocks at the door, and I've got a beagle and he's a bit daft, and he always goes and robs my post. So I just said, 1 second, I've just got to go and get my post off the dog. And which sounds ridiculous, but that's my life. And she said, that's real. You know, I work with you because you're real. You get that life isn't this Instagram-worthy, Pinterest-perfect thing, which is often portrayed by a lot of coaches and gurus and et cetera. And she's like, what kind of day are you having? And I went, well, you know, one of the lights the electrician fixed on Monday is broken again. The dog's eating my post, you know. And she's kind of like, that's real. You're going through life the same as the rest of us.
That's the point. We have this. That's the whole thing about social media. It portrays this life as though, you know, the compost bin never needs emptying, you know, and you know, and the toilet doesn't need cleaning. You know, all these things that need to be done don't get mentioned on social media.
Yeah, I mean, I posted something on social media actually the other day. I was speaking to a good friend of mine, Matt Meacham, who's a wonderful, wonderful chap, and we were on about the kind of the portrayal that social media and the pressures that we get put on. And I sent him a photo of myself, and it was like 11 o'clock on a Saturday night, my hair was all over the place, and I was pulling a stupid face, and I said, I'd never post this on social media because all I can see is 10 chins and a nose that points to the moon. And he was like, yeah, but I see you, I see personality, and I see something that I can connect with, which is so much more than the posed pictures that I would put on social media, for example.
Yeah.
And I kind of resolved to not do it anymore, because if I'm under pressure, if I'm not posting stuff because people will see the flaws that nobody else actually sees.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Nobody sees the fact you might have the teeniest, tiniest spot on the right hand side of your cheek. Nobody notices. If you're smiling, no, I don't. but nobody cares but you. And that I think, it again ties in with the mental health, that if we're all just real on social media and business and life, everybody would be a lot happier.
They would be, wouldn't they?
You know, you're not seeing Polly's picture perfect kitchen after baking, when really after you've cooked, your kitchen looks like the apocalypse.
Yes.
Well, my kitchen does. Anyway.
Yeah, mine does too.
But yeah, but that's the social media is brilliant for connecting people. I mean, we wouldn't be having this conversation without social media.
No, we wouldn't, would we?
But it does have its drawbacks. And I think I did post that picture in the end and I said, I'm resolving from now on not to use filters and to show life, because I do it in business. You know, I'm really real with my clients and I'll say, you know, the thing with the post, I'll say to them, I've got to go and get my post because my dog's an idiot.
Mm.
And it should be the same in life as well. You know,
the point, this is the deeper conversation and I don't think it's relevant to here, but the point is people make judgments and that's the problem. People have big judgment filters around things. Oh, I don't like people to do that or this, that, and the other. And I have this real thing about how do we make value judgments? You know, what says this pen is any better than this pen, you know, and you know, but we do make value judgments and social media is the same thing. You know, we look at people, we make a judgment about them. That's just it.
That's a whole kind of,
yeah, there's a huge box that we could open there. And I don't want to open that box and have that conversation because I don't, we could explore it, but we probably wouldn't make any conclusions out of it, but it would be an interesting exploration. I also have to consider the time on this podcast. So tell me, here is the big question that we've been driving towards. Obviously, you know, we arrive on this earth as children, we grow up, we discover the world, we discover other people, we discover, you know, partners, we have sex, we do all these things and have families and do stuff. What's it all for? What is the meaning of life for you?
43.
Well, the answer was 42.
42. Actually. Damn it.
But you are a different age. See, you didn't. You're not old enough for that conversation.
No, I just.
It's funny that I was talking to Jeff Burke the other day, who's a podcast guest, and he and I had this thing, and he wrote a book called "Resistance is Futile," which came from that. I said, "You nicked that title from the book." He says, "Yeah, I knew him really well. It was a mate of mine." Okay.
I don't really know what that means. I just know that if somebody asks you the meaning of life, you're supposed to say 40 something.
It comes from The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Oh.
And the Earth was supposed to be a big supercomputer that would... No, it wasn't. Actually, deep thought was the big supercomputer that would work out the answer to life, the universe and everything. And when it got to the answer, it was 42.
There's me trying to be funny and I got it wrong.
So what they did after is they created the Earth to try and get the answer. But unfortunately, the Earth was blown up before the answer came out. So there you go.
I don't know the answer to your question, to be fair. What it's all for is happiness. It sounds selfish, but it's what I do is all for me, if you know what I mean. I don't do it for anybody else, I do it for me. So I guess it's all about how I feel is the point, I guess. I don't have anything philosophical to say here to you, Paul.
Well, it's not philosophical, is it? It's not necessarily philosophical. It's about what it means to you. It's the why. It's the why you're here on this earth. You may have already said it a lot, because a lot of it, you've actually been quite candid about where you are, what you do.
Hmm. It's. I think for me, I'm here to help people, both in a business sense and a life sense. I'm the kind of person that if somebody needs something, like anything, I'll give it to them, because it's more important to me to see other people happy and other people, you know, I can go without whatever. And that's been something that's been congruent throughout my entire life. So I think I am here to be a nice person, I suppose. I don't know. I'm still figuring my purpose out, I think.
Yeah, I can understand. I have to say, it comes to you eventually, but even then, I'm still searching my purpose out, and I'm 55. So the point is, you know,
baby.
No, I think it's very unusual for someone before 30 to actually understand their life purpose. It is unusual. I mean, you'll have some inkling towards it. I'm not trying to be ageist here. I mean, I can say because at 25, I knew sort of what I wanted to do in life. I had seen nothing about life. It was like,
what do I know about it?
and it was, and even I've been questioning this for years. So there's no right answer to this one.
I think I've got my core beliefs. I know what I stand for.
Yeah.
But I haven't really kind of got that to a purpose. Some people, you know, say I'm here to be a parent, or I'm here to be this change the world type of person. You know, I want to cure cancer. I mean, that would be great, but I don't have that underlying one thing. Mm. I just know who I am and what I stand for, I think. Which is half the battle, isn't it?
It is half the battle, and as long as you are enjoying the journey, that's all that matters in some ways.
Most of the time.
Most of the time. Well, yeah, life does that. It has its ups and downs.
It does.
So, Anna Wilson, if people want to connect with you, and the kind of people, so say who you would like to connect with, and if they would like to connect with you, how do they do that?
I will happily talk to anybody. If they want to send me pictures of their cats in funny outfits, by all means, make my day. If they want to have a conversation about life or business, or they've got any questions, or they just want somebody to talk to, they can find me at my website, which is virtualbird.co.uk. My group, which is facebook.com/group/virtualbird. My page, which is...
You can put these, we can get these links on these. So they can find you on Facebook. They can find you on the website.
Yeah, Facebook, website, Twitter, LinkedIn. I'm everywhere. Just put out a...
Who, I mean, how, anybody with a pulse is a little bit too wide a definition of people.
I don't know.
Well, no, it's not good. As a marketing hat, I can assure you it's not good. You need to be a little bit more specific who you kind of support. So what kind of people can work with you? Because not everyone can. Let's be realistic about it.
No, absolutely. It's got to be a good fit. And the people that can connect with me are people that kind of feel overwhelmed, are struggling for time, have no clear direction of what they need to do next.
So it's entrepreneurs with kind of product-based businesses, probably.
Yeah. I mean, I can help service-based businesses, but product-based is what I know.
Okay.
And what I've done for far too long.
Fair enough. Well, it's fine. You're enjoying doing it. So it will go on into the future. I'll have to come back to you in 5 or 6 years and see what happened.
I'll probably still be sat here doing it.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe you'll have a team of people working for you. Who knows?
I've got the dog. He's very important.
Okay.
He's under that blanket.
Well, Anna Wilson, thank you so much for your time today. It has been a pleasure.
Andrew, thank you so much, Paul.
All the best. That was Life, Passion and Business with Paul Harvey and my guest, Anna Wilson. As ever, her details can be found on the website, and there may be a waiting list to work with Anna, but I'm sure she will find a way to help you because that is what she does. So, can you help me with this podcast? How do you measure progression of a podcast? Never found quite the right answer to that question because the stats don't tell the full story. However, for my ego, if I can make the difference to one person, then it's a success. But what if I could make a difference to hundreds or thousands of people? Then my ego would be delighted. Okay, so here's what I would like you to do. If you are listening on a podcast app, click the link/subscribe button. These apps will promote this show to more people if it gets more likes and shares. And it's a kind of circle. The more likes and shares we get, the more the show gets shown and the more appreciation that it, you know, it's a kind of building thing anyway. So that's what I'd love you to do if you could. Now, if you're really keen to help, you could leave a comment on the app. Now, I know it takes a little bit more effort, but it really would support the project. Just a few words to say what you think and what you discovered. Well done, you made it to the end of the program and this recording. Thanks for sticking with it, and I will catch you next time.